Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. Today is November 12, 2020, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to today's study and for you to engage in the Word with us this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to grab your Bible, pen, and paper, and get ready for our in-depth and inductive study. Before we get started, I'd like to ask Rabbi to go ahead and pray for all of us and all of us who may be going through different things at this time, but we just want to go ahead and invite you to just not focus on the circumstances, but focus on what Yah wants to do. We're going to go ahead and transition into that. Rabbi?
Amen. And in this prayer, I want each and every one of you to realize this very thing, and that is, regardless of what the circumstances may present to you, God is greater. So, Father, we submit to that. We submit to the fact that you are greater than the circumstances. We submit to the fact that the adversary would have us focus so strongly and so intently on the circumstances that we see no hope or no ability in ourselves to believe that you can do and that you will do what you have promised in your word that you will do. But Father, we choose to believe the report that you give. We choose to believe the report of the Lord over our circumstances, over our situation, over what is being presented to us today. We choose. It's a choice that we have, and we thank you for that choice right now in the name of Yeshua. We glorify you, we magnify you, we say that you are exalted, and we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression as we submit to you. We put in alignment those things that you have placed within us and desired within us to manifest and to fulfill the fullness of your glory. You desire to see your glory manifested in us and in me. So, Father, I submit today that the old man must die. The sin, the iniquity, and the transgression of that old man must die. It must cease and desist right now in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for the glory. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for you coming in and stepping into our life, changing everything around us, and inevitably changing us, changing our mindset, changing our will, our emotions, changing every aspect that would try to hinder your word from coming forth. Father, we thank you that you've given us the strength to forgive ourselves for the choices that we've made that cause us to be in the muck and the mire that we find ourselves in today. We thank you, Lord God, that you are supreme and that there is nothing on this earth, in this earth, or under this earth that can violate your word and can go against your word, that can stop or hinder or impede any action that your word says it will bring to pass. Father, we thank and glorify you, not just for what you're about to do on this broadcast or what you've done in the past, but we thank you for it. But we thank you for who you are. You are always who you are. No matter what happens, no matter what is happening around us, you are. So, Father, we hold on to, we latch on to the fact that you are, and we allow you to be who you desire to be. Not what we want you to be. Not what we perceive in our mind that should be. But we, right now, before all, allow you to be. We thank you for forgiving our forefathers. We thank you for setting our path straight. We thank you for the thousand generation blessing, not just to us, but through us. to our lineage, to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on. We thank you. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In the face of our enemies, we glorify you this day. In Yahushua's name, we give all those accolades and prayers and petition to you. Amen and amen. Well, Pastor Andre, I will pass it to you at this time.
Thank you. And thank you for that prayer, sir. Right now, before we get into our recap of last week, we're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah blessing. As we engage with the study of Yah's word, we want to bless him. Even as it says in the scriptures, at all times I will bless him. And we just want to give God thanks for every moment that we have. And so we give him the acknowledgement right now. Pastor Doug.
Ruach Ata Yehuah, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Arshur Kishanu B'mitzvotav, Itzanu La'asot B'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. And he has called us to absorb ourselves in the words of his Torah. And Torah, of course, means teaching or instruction. So we're going to engage in the word today, looking for Yah's instructions that we can immerse ourselves in it, to test it, to see if it is true, what we're reading, what we're sharing with you. And then if it is so, as I say, usually at the end of our broadcast, for us to apply it. So last week, we discussed the word goodness, and that we came from the Greek word agathosune, okay, agathosune, which means uprightness of heart and life, goodness, and kindness, included kindness here, which we separated and talked about a few weeks prior. Goodness is seen in our actions, and this word relates to not only being good, but also doing good things. It reminds me of a verse that talks about not giving up and doing good, for in due season you shall reap. This is Galatians 6, verse 9. You shall reap what you've been sowing. And so we have to look at the aspect that good and goodness, it's something that we are reflecting from Yah, because only he is good when you think about it. But also, it is something that we're supposed to extend out and to actually sow out. Now, one of the things that we can sow out is good news, the good news, and the good news of Yah. And he often, the word that he provides for us in specific moments, in specific times, is a good news. It's a gospel, if you will, for that moment. Whatever we are lacking in, God, through Yeshua, has the remedy. And whatever we're lacking in, God, through Yeshua, has the remedy. That which changes the situation and circumstances is good news. So we need to keep our eyes open for the good news that Yah wants to bring and to speak to us for our very circumstances and situations. The goodness appropriated at the right time. This is a quote from last week. The goodness appropriated at the right time causes the fruit of the Spirit to bring forth fruit in times of trouble. So we want to make sure that we appropriate the goodness of Yah. It's one of those things where, and this is a definitely a spiritual principle, give and it shall be given unto you. As we are extending the goodness of God around us, God is pouring us more full of his goodness. Goodness, this is a continuation of the quote, goodness works best when there is chaos. You might say, why is that? Because when there are situations that are beyond our control or that we cannot tolerate, that's when Yah can step in with what only he can provide. Here's another point from last week. Learn how to empty ourselves and allow him to fill. The goodness will manifest from the inner man out. There may be times where we feel like we don't have to give, and then Yah can bring and pour into us. So we have to be cognizant. We have to be aware of how we're doing, how our tank is, and say, Father, I need you. I need you in this area. And going back to what we had said earlier, whatever we are lacking in, God says ask. ask and it shall be given unto you. God, through Yeshua, has the remedy. I'm going to remind us all of that. Now, we have to learn, again, how to allow, to empty ourselves. And this goes back to crucifying the old man, allowing him to fill us, allowing Yah to fill us with his goodness. We should spend some time looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And we read it in King James Version, but we also spent time looking at the Amplified Version. And the Amplified, I don't know, Rabbi, if it did the same for you, but for me, it was totally bubbling over with just, to me, excitement. It was rich. It felt like you're eating, for those of you who like chocolate and for those of you who like sweet things, it was a rich chocolate mousse, if you will. It just that's the best way I can describe how it felt to taste that scripture in Amplified. But it talked about the circumstances that are trying to define us cannot define us because we are being brought to a higher place in Yah. Those situations that are trying to pin us down, those things must release us, as Rabbi was saying last week. The goodness of God causes us to be promoted to a higher place. So we've been talking about how goodness works best in chaos, but we also talked about how now the goodness of God causes us to be promoted. But there's one other aspect that we have to pay attention to. And it's this paradox, this interesting kind of conundrum here that the perilous times promote us. So as we're saying how goodness is most better manifested or is works best in chaos, we also now see that the perilous times promote us. And you're saying, well, why do I need to go through tough times in order to be promoted? Well, the Father has a unique way. This is what Rabbi said last week that really jumped out to me. Because the Father has a unique way of making sure our enemy understands how great, holy, and righteous he, as the Father, is. He will use opportunities. He shines through us. When we're faced with adversity, Yah shines through us when we live and move in his word. The enemy then has to promote us. And that word, us walking in the righteousness of Yah, then ensnares our enemies. Let me say that again, and I'll say it in a different way. When we are walking in his word, when we line up with his word, when we live in the word of Yah, the enemy has to promote us. And that word, that righteousness that we're walking in, ensnares our enemies. And to give you a biblical connection point, Daniel is an excellent example. We talked about Daniel last week. And we gave the example of Daniel when he was faced with the edict by the king, the lion's den edict, where he was not allowed to pray to his Yah, but he continued to pray to his Yah, his God. And we saw that the trap that was laid for Daniel devoured his enemies. And this was because of the goodness of Yah and Daniel specifically walking in righteousness, walking in the things of Yah, walking in the word of Yah. We then connected it to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And we also connected this with other, we did a cross-reference with other versions or other accounts of this very story where Yeshua was in the wilderness. Okay. One of the things we focused on in this portion of Scripture was how the enemy promoted Yeshua when he was at his weakest. The promotion of the evil one is mandated by Yah. In other words, Yah is saying, I will cause that which was meant for evil to become your promotion, especially if you are steadfast, which we'll tie into this week, and connected and following the things which I have commanded for you. Yeshua was doing all of that. Yeshua went into the wilderness, which he was led by the Spirit. He was fasting and praying. And when he was at his lowest, when he was hungered, that's when the adversary tried to tempt him. All of the weapons Yeshua used were from Deuteronomy, and which is a summary of the whole Torah. So again, this goes back to the point that Rabbi made as far as when we're living and walking in the word of Yah, then God's goodness can be manifest in a much brighter way, especially when we face adversity. Now, Yeshua built himself up so that only that which was in him was able to come out. So in other words, only that which was in him, he had built himself so much to the point that there was nothing left other than the word of God. And that is what came out against the enemy. Goodness comes when you are living in the Torah, not just quoting it. This is one for all of us. Am I quoting more than I'm living, or am I living the Torah? In each attack on Yeshua, Yeshua overcame the word by the word of his testimony. A testimony comes when you are tested in your resolve and in your obedience to that word. The goodness of God comes in to rescue you. The devil had to promote Yeshua. At each level of authority, the devil had stolen. Remember, we talked about how it literally says, and he took him to another place, and each place was higher than the last. The devil had to surrender his authority to Yeshua. Yes, the devil does attack when you're at your lowest. When it feels like you've been given a low blow, that's when he tries to come back. And we saw that scripture in Luke, and I apologize, I don't have the exact reference here today. But in Luke, where it talks about he sought a more opportune time. He left Yeshua after he tempted him, and then he said, until an opportune time. And the enemy is looking for a time where he can make the most impact or give the hardest blow. But that doesn't mean that we have to overcome. We have to understand that God never leaves or forsakes us. God never left Abraham. For 24 years, Yah followed Abraham. And he was following him until those promises, which were following Abraham, were manifested. Now, this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll pass it back to Rabbi for our study today. But the last point, Rabbi, that you had made, and I thought this was so poignant. We may be in perilous times, but we are not of perilous times. We are to be in the world, but not of it. And so we must remember who we are of and remain in him. Rabbi?
Amen and amen. And before we get into it, and because we're going to be going into another ingredient of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's faithfulness or steadfastness. But the thing I want to make sure upon all that was said is that, and if you can go there for us, Pastor Andre, and that's Luke chapter 4, verse 13. I think that's the verse that you were looking for.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Pertaining to the subject. And I want to conclude with that pertaining to the goodness and then begin to go into the faithfulness or steadfastness. And you can read that both in the King James and in the Amplified.
Okay, let me get the King James. And I know one over the other has the specific phrase, but I'm going to go ahead and go here first.
Okay.
That's Luke chapter 4, verse 13.
Yeah, I believe that's it. And I know in the New Living Translation, it definitely nails that verbiage the way you said it, but
okay, here's the King James. And when the devil had departed all the temptation, he departed from him, that is Yeshua, for a season. And then the next one here, we're going to go to the Amplified, and it says this, and this has it here in the Amplified. When the devil had finished every temptation, he temporarily left him until a more opportune time.
That's it.
Right.
Now, yeah, that's good. Now, a couple of things we want to extract from that to make sure that we totally get this. It says, when the devil had finished all of his temptations, all of his attacks. Oftentimes we're thinking when we get attacked that, you know, that's it. That's all that he will do. And we make that assumption that the attacks are over. Okay? It's imperative that we understand that the attacks of the enemy are not only are they attacks to your mind, but they're attacks to your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's going to affect your whole soul. Now, Pastor Andre, I know I want to get into faithfulness, but I'm really sensing and feeling that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to park here for a little bit. So I think we'll do that. because we need to understand. Okay, when I say we, I'm saying all of us, we all, I included, get attacks from time to time and think that these attacks, although diabolical, we think that they're finite from a standpoint of, okay, that one attack is it, and I'm not going to get attacked again. But it's for us to understand that the attacks that we face are attacks that will affect and always, this is always, always affect every aspect of our soul. So we need to understand. We need to make sure that we get this, because what will happen is this. If we don't understand the full gravity of these particular attacks, then we're going to find ourselves in the Elijah syndrome. And that is a dangerous place to be. Okay? The Elijah syndrome. Okay? And I'm sure you're wondering, well, what's that? Okay, the Elijah syndrome is when we assume things to be which they are not. We make the assumption, either in his particular case, he was making the assumption that once God did all of his mighty acts in front of Ahab, that Ahab would capitulate, he would repent, he would get it right, he would get rid of Jezebel, and the kingdom would be restored, and everything would be hunky-dory, if you will. Not only did that not happen, but Elijah was attacked. And his hope, the hope that Elijah had, was attacked. Not just his faith, because we're going to be going into faithfulness, but we need to understand before faithfulness, before even believing, which is a fuel that stokes faithfulness, that you have to have hope. If you or I, if I'm hoping in the wrong thing, if I'm hoping for the wrong result, then what will happen is the adversary will have an easy opportunity to topple my faith and my trust and my belief. It'll be easy for him because I'm already focused on the wrong antidote. I'm focused on the wrong result. And with Elijah, he was focusing on the fact that the assumption that based upon all of these miracles, based upon all of these things that happened, based upon the situation that happened in my karma, that not only would Ahab be submitted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but all of Israel would completely repent and walk the straight line. What Ahab did, most of you know the story, what Ahab did was he told Jezebel, his wife, and she conjured up a demonic spirit. Now you got to understand this. Some commentaries, unfortunately, believe that there was a physical messenger that was sent to Ahab to tell him that that physical messenger was going to destroy him, was going to kill him, was going to take him out. But we've got to make sure we understand the spiritual implications of why that could never be. Why it could never be was because even Obadiah had a problem finding Elijah. Ahab sent men, many companies of soldiers to imprison and to take Elijah, and they could never find him. And when they did find him, the power of God by fire would burn up Elijah's enemies. So physically, Elijah could translate from place to place by the will of the Father, by the will of God, and no one could ever physically touch him. So if no one could physically touch him, what is this that Jezebel did? Jezebel, and most of you probably know this, and if you don't, it might be a little bit surprising. Jezebel was offered up to Satan as a child because her father was a Satanist priest. So Jezebel was this token of witchcraft, of demonology, if you will, and was very well versed in casting spells and things of that nature. So what Jezebel did was she sent a demonic messenger, because that's the only, think about it, that's the only thing that could actually go directly to wherever Elijah was. Physically, no one could approach him. And this demonic being, this messenger, appeared and then began to show Elijah what was going to be done to him. And Elijah believed what he saw in the spirit realm. Now, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because in retrospect, we want to make sure that we understand the attacks of the enemy. Now, we were talking in last week about Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, with Yeshua and the attacks that were being propagated by Satan to Yeshua. Now, we know this. I think most of us kind of know, but sometimes we got to have a total epiphany within our own knower. In other words, the concept we understand, but the application has to be well lived through. I'm going to say that again. Concepts we get rather easily. And the concept of faith, the concept of knowing that we're going to be attacked by the enemy, a concept of knowing that it's our faith that will be attacked. Satan does not desire to attack you and me. Okay, now that may come to a shock for some. But because we're no match for him. It's a waste of his time and his effort and his focus. But when the Word of God comes in and then we begin to germinate the faith or faithfulness of God with that Word, and we're going to break all this down, okay? But when we begin to do that, then the Word that we have attached to and have caused to begin to co-create on the earth, that's the anointing and the yoke that breaks every single diabolical attack of the enemy. It destroys all of his efforts. It dispels all of his thoughts towards us, towards you, towards me. So we've got to understand that it's that particular faith and us walking that out, which is faithfulness. So it's not just faith, the word. It's also connected to faithfulness. Now, the adversary, going back to, because I want to finish that one piece that we were talking about. The adversary will attack our mind. They'll try to debilitate our will, our resolve, our fight, trying to make our fight be flight. Okay? Because we have that mechanism of fight and flight. He tries to make the fight in us. He tries to debilitate that fight in us, which is part of the will, so that we give up, so that we capitulate, so that we cower down. And then he tries to imprint that very thing into our emotions. Now, why would he want to do that? Primarily because in our emotions is our memory bank. Okay? when I say memory bank, I'm saying our a good example is body memory. Okay. So in our emotions is our body memory. So that with least amount of effort, when our emotions are connected to this situation or whatever the circumstances is, then our body, without being told by our mind, will begin to go through those negative operating processes. A good example is if you've ever had a situation, a negative situation happen, and then the stimuli, you know, let's say you got bit by a dog or whatever, and then you're driving down the road and you see a similar dog as the one that bit you, or a dog, period, and you hear it, your body, before your mind could say, no, you know, don't go there, your body will automatically start going through the processes. Okay, you'll through you know the anxiety and the sweat and the and adrenaline, you know, to get out of that situation. All of those things will happen. So this is the reason why the enemy goes in and tries to implant this in your mind. Because if he can get in your emotion, correction, they're through your mind. Because if he can get that emotions in line with it as well, then you and I will be so enslaved to the stimuli. The stimulus will control you. You will not control you. Your will not have any say-so. Now, we're going to get ready to get into some scripture, but before that, I want to digress and allow Pastor Andre to kind of comment on what we've talked about thus far before we go into the components of faithfulness and scriptures pertaining to that and how that all plays a part.
All right. And Rabbi, I want to thank you again. We were talking before the show started about the importance of recognizing that, you know, the people in the Bible are humans. And I love how, what you brought out here. And when I say they're humans, of course we know they're human. But what I mean is there's a humanity to them, something that we can relate to. And as Rabbi, you brought up the Elijah syndrome, it's something that we have to guard ourselves to, especially when we are when we know we're more vulnerable to attack. And I appreciate you bringing out, especially when we face challenging situations, we have to look at our soul and take account. It's like we do an inventory. All right, mind, how are you? Will, how are you? Emotions, how, not so good? Okay, we need to guard our emotions. And the last thing that you had said was really powerful as far as the enemy attacks our mind so that he can debilitate our will, our desire, our focus. And his chief goal is to then, like you said, to implant in our emotions. And for those of you listening, this is something that really hits me as far as making sure that I am emotionally healthy, making sure that I'm in a good place. And if not, to be willing to cry out for help, to pray, and to make sure that I'm protected. Because this is exactly where the enemy wants to attack every believer. So when we're talking about the humanity of Elijah, we have to recognize he was a man too, and we can look to his story as an example so that we can protect ourselves and our souls. So Rabbi, that's really good. And I love where you're going with this as far as connecting to faithfulness as well.
Amen. So let's look at a couple of scriptures, Pastor Andre. We're going to look at a foundational scripture here, John chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at a passage, and that's verses 27 through 33. Verses 27 through 33. Now, also, while they are writing that down, we're eventually going to get to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. So that's 2, 3, and 4, and we're going to be covering that as well, preferably in this particular broadcast. If not, we'll definitely cover it in future broadcasts. All right, so I'm going to pass it to you, Pastor Andre, for you to go ahead and begin to read that. Now, of course, we do want to see that also in the Amplified and King James, okay? But I'll let you go ahead and get through that, and then we'll come back and commentate on those things. Okay?
All right. Sounds good. So the first one we're going to go with is King James Version. Okay? And John chapter 8, starting with verse 27. I apologize, I'm flipping. I'm going back between a computer and my Bible, but I'm right here now. John chapter 8, verse 27. This is the King James. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. So this is going back real quick, some recap here. Yeshua is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples and those who were around him at the time. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And he shall know and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And lastly, 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Let's go ahead and look at this in the Amplified Version. One moment, please. Here we go. And this is what it says here. They did not perceive, know, understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, know, and understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. Verse 29. And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And he said these things, as he said these things, many believed in him, trusted, relied on, and adhered to him. Verse 31. So Yeshua, Jesus, said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's offspring, his descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be set free? And that was the Amplified Version.
Amen. Now, there's quite a few rich nuggets in that, and I'm sure some of them really jumped out at you, Pastor Andre. Let's read verse 32 in the Amplified one more time.
Sure. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And that's in the Amplified?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Read verse 31, because it's probably 31 and 32 together that I was.
Okay. Yes. And 31 was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sir. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
So, abiding in his word means applying and walking and submitting to. It's not just what we've learned in Christendom as far as speaking the word. It's living and operating and abiding by the word that is spoken. That's where faith manifests. That's where trust is built. We have got to live. We've got to operate. We've got to show, like James said, show my faith by my works. In other words, by doing what the word says for me to do. That's something we cannot get around. We can't get away from, and we can't, you know, circumvent a thought or an action or an attitude or something so that we don't comply. It is the act of complying that brings forth the anointing that breaks the yoke of all the bondage in our life. It is the act of doing what was said. Now that is faithfulness. If we're looking for a definition, that is faithfulness. Now, unfortunately, we've been derailed and we've been given false information pertaining to the definition from a Greek perspective. And we need to understand, where did this come from? Where did this false doctrine come from? Because it does not work. Now, when we look at the word faith, and we look at the word, the just, and there's a term, and there's a statement that's found in a couple of passages in the New Testament. This is, the just shall live by faith. Now, the problem that I have with that particular passage is not the passage itself, but too often, most individuals, most believers are unaware of the origination of that particular passage. They're unaware of the events, the historical cultural events circling around that particular passage. They have lost the full gravity, the full understanding of what was even meant by that particular phrase. So that's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to make sure that we get it right. And when I say get it right, I don't mean accurately understand what was said, but I mean we apply it in our lives so the manifestation of that phrase will manifest in and through our lives individually. I've said this many times, and I want to make sure that everyone is grasping it, because we're living some dangerous times. We are living in some perilous times. We're at the cusp, if you will, of this thing to really begin to bottle keg on us. It's really going to explode. We look at the economic situation. We look at the political situation. We look at all of these situations that are turning the corner and getting ready to go full force in evil and wickedness and debauchery like we've never seen. The Father will not tolerate that. In this particular passage, there's another phrase that this just leaped out at me, pertaining to where Yeshua was speaking about his Father and the fact that his Father will answer him. Why? Because he, Yeshua, always does what the Father requests. The moment we stop doing what the Father requests is the moment that the atmosphere and the inclement weather begin to take its toll on our lives. So we're turning in that from a macro level, from a meso level. Now it's time for our micros to shine like it's never shined before. Like what we were sharing with Daniel. Because Daniel's life, his individual walk, his individual relationship with God shone like it had never done before when he was thrown into the den of lions. We're coming into that aspect. And we need to make sure that individually we are grasping this and getting it and living it and applying it regularly. I am so reminded that cause and the effect are a part of the choices that we make. I was talking to the Lord about some things that I've been going through, and the Lord lovingly said, it's the choice you made there. It's the choice you made there. It's the choice you made there, and it's the choice you made there. Those choices that you made caused you to be where you are right now, for you to suffer in those areas of your life. Change those choices, that suffering ceases. Change the choices, the suffering ceases. Now that's a really sober word. But we look at verse 32 and it says, the truth will set or make you free. Now what we don't always understand, you know, is that we can't handle the truth. I'm not trying to just coin a cliche from a movie, but it's so true. We typically cannot handle the truth. When the Father was telling me the truth about my situation and about my circumstance and about why I'm where I'm at, I didn't bellyache. I didn't whine. I didn't, you know, complain. I didn't stomp my feet. I didn't, you know, throw a temper tantrum. Why? Because I've always asked him to be very truthful with me ever since my relationship with him in the beginning of my salvation experience. And he has been true, to coin a phrase, to his word. So he tells me, you know, you want to know? Yes. Now, there are times that I don't want to know why, because I already know. There are times that I'm like, Father, it's okay. I know what you're going to say. But there are other times that I'm not really sure. And so I'll say, you know, Father, what? You know? And he'll tell me. He'll point it out. And I'll be like, okay, you're right. Not that you're ever wrong, but you are definitely right. And I repent, and then I begin to take the course corrections in order to allow God to help me fix the problem, to redeem me from that area and that situation and that circumstance in my life. And I'll tell you, when you start to deal with that way, when the faithfulness starts to come back, then the blessings of God and the anointing of God and the redemption of God and all of those things come back as well. God is letting me know, letting you know, he is not mocked. Whatsoever you reap, you're going to sow. But he doesn't end there. Hallelujah. He doesn't end there. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave me in that state of debauchery, of helplessness and hopelessness. He is not a God of hopelessness. Because if he was, he would leave you. He would leave me in that state. Because we know, if we're honest with ourselves, we deserve it. And possibly even more. But he doesn't leave us. Yeshua did not redeem us so that we could be left unfulfilled in God. So we've got to understand these things. We've got to get more than just a grip. We've got to build a relationship. Because that's what the Father wants. When it's all said and done, all the perilous times and all these different things like that are happening, the judgments and those things like that, are so that we can repent and so that we can have the relationship that he promised us from the beginning. He is actively pursuing a relationship with you, an intimacy with me. He's actively pursuing that. So even in the discipline, he's still actively pursuing. All of them, when it says, you know, all, you know, the word and all of that works together for the good. That's what he's referring to. He's saying, I'm so actively pursuing a relationship, a proper, intimate relationship with you, to where I'm allowing every single situation and circumstance to point to that very thing. Every good, every bad, and even every ugly situation points to the fact that I want an intimate relationship with you. And not a temp, my relationships with you are everlasting. My relationships with you are everlasting. Don't look at the state at which you are in. Look at what I'm bringing to the table for you and me. You have to acknowledge. I have to acknowledge my sin. I have to acknowledge my wrongness. I have to acknowledge I missed the mark in that area. But that's not where God wants to leave me. This faithfulness that we're getting ready to talk about and discuss is where he wants to keep me. This is the keeping power of God. Faithfulness is the keeping power for God, for me, for you. The temporal things that we face are areas where the adversary tries to get us to believe a different concept than what God is and what he desires for you and me. So let's begin to look at this passage of Scripture. Let's go back to the original. Go back to where it started first. We're going to go to Habakkuk, Chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Okay, we're going to read that both in the King James and we're going to read it in the Amplified. And this is where that reference of that particular passage is, or because there's a couple of passages in the New Testament that reference verse 4, I believe it is. And they only reference the B part. Verse 4. Now, Paul, in at least a couple of areas, talks about this, both to the Hebrews and also to the Roman congregation. He mentions this particular passage. Now, because it's in the New Testament, we correlate this to the word faith. And not that that's wrong, it's just incomplete. It's not wrong. It's incomplete. It's more than just faith. It's faithfulness. Okay? And faithfulness is the act of doing what you believe that God has given you and said he would do for you if you capitulate. We have to capitulate. We have to do our part. James was trying to get the congregation there to understand that if you say you have faith but you don't do your part, your faith is dead. In other words, you're a liar. It doesn't work. When I utilize my faith, James is saying, there is works. There's a manifestation that happens because I'm working my faith. I'm cooperating with it. The lack of cooperation causes the manifestation to be null and void. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 in the King James and also in the Amplified.
Alrighty. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And that was the King James. Now on to the Amplified, starting again with verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tables or tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness.
The rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous, meaning the person that's doing what is right in the sight of God, shall what? And what's the rest of that in the Amplified?
It shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness.
Shall live by whose faith? Shall live by his own corresponding actions based upon what the Word of God says to be and do. Now, before we get into this, we've run out of time, but we're going to pick it back up here, because when you look at it in the King James, when you look at it in other versions, it doesn't clarify whose faith is being instituted and being worked here. It doesn't. And often, this translation, the just shall live by faith, without a pronoun in there to figure out whose faith are we talking about, they correlate the word faith to God's faith. And as we get ready to go into more depth, you're going to see it's not just God's faith here. And the word faith doesn't give enough information. It's faithfulness, which we'll see on the next broadcast. Pastor Andre, if you could share with us, for those that need to know more about us and to get more information.
Sure. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been a great kind of interlude between goodness and faithfulness as we get more in-depth with faithfulness. We're all having to ask some of the questions that we did today. And really is taking inventory of our soul. How are we doing? But again, I want to just thank you right now for joining us and listening to These Be Perilous Times. We're glad that you've taken time to study this word. And as was encouraged earlier, we want to make sure that you not just hear it and not just repeat it, but live it. After you've done your tests and you've kicked the tires and you see that these things stand up and that they are upheld by the word of God, then the challenge and the impetus is on you to do it, to live it. We're all challenged to live the word and not just be hearers only. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply leave us an encouraging word, you are welcome to do so at our email address, which is office@bethhashem.org. And Beth Hashem is spelled all lowercase, one word, BethHashem.org. You can also find out more about us on our website, again, www.bethhashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ Beth Hashem Ministries. Again, all lowercase, one word. If you'd like to dig deeper into the Hebraic roots of our faith and learn how we apply some biblical interpretation techniques and different ways in which we apply these tactics to understand the Word of God, we teach this and more at our college, which is online right now. It's a Zakkai University of Learning. It offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can learn more at courses.bethhashem.org. And if you'd like to make a contribution to this ministry or a donation, you're welcome to do so. If you have on your phone Cash App, or you can go to the URL online, which is http://. www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem, all lowercase. Or you can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And again, thank you for those who have contributed and blessed this ministry in the weeks past. Say thank you to you as well. At this time, we'll go ahead and conclude this time of study with our After Torah Study blessing. And we'll have that from Pastor Doug in just a moment.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet Bachaye Olam Nata Bikokeinu Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And as we close, we'd like to close with this blessing, Aaronic blessing, which I'll sing in Hebrew and in English, and then I'll go ahead and pass it to you, Rabbi, for a closing prayer.
Yivorechecha Yehuah Beishmerecha Yair Yehuah Panavelecha Bichunecha Yisa Yehuah Panavelecha Ve'esem Lecha Shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, we thank and praise you and glorify you for this word. As we thank and praise you and glorify you for all words that you speak, that your words are life, that your words are the bread of life that we need each and every day. We thank you, Father, that nothing takes you by surprise, and nothing startles you, nothing causes you to panic. We thank you that your strength and your anointing and your ability to always do great and mighty things is something that not only should be on our lips, but should be in our minds and our hearts, so that we can honestly say, we know you. For Father, if we know you, then no fear, no interpretation, any aspect of what the enemy would try to do to us would ever manifest. It would never stick. It would never come near our dwelling, because the anointing of your word would dispel all darkness, all evil, all wickedness, all debauchery. So, Father, we want more of that in you so that we can have more of the results that you promise. We want more of the results that you promise so that we can be more intimate with you, so that we can understand the true depth and height and width of the love in you in Christ Jesus. We need to understand the breadth of that. I honestly say we don't have it. But we need it. And we must have it. We must know you. So, Father, as we start our day today, we just ask that you begin to filtrate our minds, hearts, and our will and emotions with knowing you, knowing your glory, knowing your presence, understanding your intimacy. We thank you for that right now. In the name of Yahushua, And until the next broadcast, shalom, shalom.